Smooth.
Yeah, that was smooth as silk.
Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Just So Jables film podcast with me, Jables.
And me, our kid.
And me, producer Ben.
Well, this week we're back to normal. We're going to be watching a film, giving you our hot takes straight out the cinema without any tainted reviews or public opinion, though I believe in this case it's going to be very hard not to have some idea of what's ahead of us. Because our kid, this week we're going to be watching...
Madam Web.
But before we get onto that, we still like to know how we got on with our reviews. So last time out, I believe we watched Iron Claw.
Yeah. What did people think of Iron Claw? Well, there's not much on YouTube. I guess it's not the kind of film that the YouTubers tend to clam around. I looked at The Guardian. Wendy Ide gave it 4 out of 5 stars. A crowd-pleasing saga that grapples with toxic masculinity. The Iron Claw doesn't quite match the bracing originality of Sean Durkin's other two films, but does cement his status as one of the most consistently impressive American directors of his generation. Variety, Owen Gleiberson gave it the critic's pick. Bit of a wanky one, this. He called the cognitive dissonance of wrestling fans enjoying staged antics as real a perfect movie for the moment in America where Donald Trump could build his presidential aspirations on fakery and still be believed by people who don't care that he's fooling them.
Wow.
I know. Well, I was like, I got to bring this up.
Spot
this
on for a film amazing. Set in the 80s. Well yeah. Done. Nailed
cognitive
it.
Dissonance, everyone.
Yeah. It's a bit of a leap, isn't it? Blimey.
Most people felt it was a good film, maybe not quite as original as it could have been. Praise for Zac Efron and lots of people saying about how it's a shame that he got snubbed by the Oscars due to his transformation and nuanced performance.
Okay, so we're probably not that far off then.
No, I don't think we're that far off. Any further thoughts on it? I haven't really got
any. I've had zero thoughts on it, I'll be honest. Well,
seems like a long time since
we
watched it.
It does, because a labyrinth.
Yeah, got stuck in the labyrinth for a couple of years, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but no, you know, as I said, it was still fine. It was still, you know, good enough, just above fine. You know, still enjoyed it. But as I said, it was a film that we watched.
Yeah, it didn't wow you, but it didn't annoy you.
My cognitive dissonance was absolutely fine. Yeah.
Thank you.
I always like to keep it in check.
Yeah. Anyway.
Moving swiftly on.
If people want to get in touch with us and let us know what they thought about it, how would they do that, Ben?
You can get us on the social platforms, Facebook, Instagram and X at Just So Jables. You can email us if you like, hello@justsojables.com. You can browse, click through, log on to justsojables.com as well, the website. Yeah. Check it out.
And if you're listening to us on Spotify or iTunes, is it still called iTunes? Could be Apple Music, actually. Mm. Then, just leave a review, 5 stars, whatever you want to, 1 star. If you don't like Ben, that's absolutely fine with me.
Cheers.
We have had an email.
Have we?
Beverly has asked what the next Retro Reels will be, so we can talk about that later, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Has it been decided now?
No.
Okay, well, it's
so
going to be
can
decided.
Fight about
today,
it later.
No, it won't be a fight. It's over.
Still a dilemma, I think. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, while you're chatting then, our kid, what are you on about this week?
Well, me and Ben are going to do a sort of mini review. So our what we're on about is a bit of a joint effort. Except Ben's looking slightly panic-stricken, so has obviously forgotten to give any thought.
Mostly your
to
effort,
this.
But yeah.
Okay, so on Friday night, we went to the Wisbeach Light Cinema to see a film called Dagger.
D-A-G-R.
D-A-G-R, which is a found footage folk horror with quirky, kitschy comedy undertones.
Maybe. Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't get that from the trailer, but...
Yeah, so it's written by Matthew Butler Hart, who's an independent filmmaker, stars Riz Moritz and Ellie Duckles as two YouTube pranksters, and they go to a remote house in Wales to pose as caterers to steal from a lifestyle commercial shoot, but they end up in a paranormal Blair Witchy nightmare.
I thought from the trailer that they were going to do an investigation on that and just using that as a cover. That's what I thought. But
no, it's
anyway.
Not an investigation. They're kind of pranksters.
Right.
Yeah, YouTube pranksters. Apparently it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's and what it the is. Kids are up to these days.
Well, yeah. Those memes, Ben.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about what I liked about it to start with. Yeah. And then I will talk about my big problem with it later on and an issue that I had. So the two girls, so Riz Moritz and Ellie Duckles' characters, I think they're really fun. They're... just the right side of annoying. Knowing it was a low-budget horror film, I was really worried that the acting was going to be a little bit shonky. Okay. But actually, I think that they held it together and they were good. Ben said on the way out that no one was really likable, but I think that was kind of
the intention,
point.
Yeah.
The YouTube show that they do is actually called They Deserve It or something like that, because they see themselves as kind of Robin Hood style characters robbing from the rich. They're very activist slash narcissist Gen Z style characters. They were good fun and I enjoyed them. And I did like the story. It brings together their story and the story of the commercial being shot in the house. And the way that comes together is quite interesting. A little bit drawn out at times, some of the scenes of them travelling through the countryside get a little bit long. But on the whole, I enjoyed it. It held together. And the slightly comedic scenes, I think, were good enough to laugh with rather than at.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did enjoy it. My problem with it, as it turns out, is that I struggle even more with found footage films than I realised.
Oh, really?
Or than I used to. Blair Witch made me queasy. Dagger made me actually throw up.
No.
At the end of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a Q&A, really nice Q&A with the director and one of the other actresses in it, Tori Butler Hart. And I had to do a quick popping to the toilet.
Oh, you made it out,
though. Made it out. But yeah, it was pretty bad. Not the film's fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that I was sitting in a found footage, I mean, all the way through from 10 minutes in, I was thinking, oh my God, I feel a bit queasy.
Was it wobbly cam, motion sickness?
It was just relentless, though, wasn't it? There wasn't barely a still moment in the whole film, because it switches between, so you've got the YouTubers who are doing like lots of video capture and live stuff, and that's just constantly jumping around, and they're in a car as well. Then there's bits with this commercial photo shoot where they're trying like avant-garde filming angles and stuff.
Yeah, which is funny.
Black and white.
The way it's done.
Grainy footage and stuff, but jumping around. Yeah, so it just doesn't let up in that regard.
And on a gigantic screen that's the size of a house, honestly.
Were you close to the front as well? Or?
Not really, we're about halfway back.
Yeah, I would say that screen in the light, it's a very large screen for the depth of the actual seating.
Yeah.
So you feel like it's right like there in front of you. Doing hand signals, that doesn't work on a podcast.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
Nice. Did anyone notice?
I don't think so.
Did you tell them that you threw up during
the Q&A? No, I didn't. I was going to ask a question about whether anyone else had said, because they're touring it around the country, and I was going to ask.
Why didn't I? Totally would have.
Well, I thought about it, but I thought I was in the toilet so long, someone might have already asked that question. So I didn't really want to bring attention to myself.
Plus, when you're not feeling great, it's probably better just to not speak.
Yeah. So, yeah, what do you want to say about it, Ben?
In some ways, it was better than I expected. I don't think the trailer quite does it justice, because the individual performances are generally quite strong. And actually, the two YouTuber characters, so they said this in the Q&A, basically they are friends in real life, and that's why it worked. They kind of riff off each other quite well, and that works better than I'd expect. They're still deeply irritating, and I guess that's what they're supposed to be. But there are no redeeming characters in this film. And like you said, maybe that's the point. It's not a long film. It's like an hour and 20, something like that. But it is hard work. It's quite exhausting. There's one or two funny little moments. But yeah, it's worth a watch. But I think what we're realising is there's perhaps a whole sort of found footage world of fans, because quite a few people turned up and asked very intense questions.
Oh, really?
So I think maybe this is probably going to land very well with a certain group of people. Mainstream audience? I'm not sure. So, but I think it's out for release. When's the release date?
April. It's going to be on streaming.
Okay.
But yeah, they're touring it in various... If you go on their socials, which I think is Fizz and Ginger Films, they've got their schedule for the different places.
I'll probably watch it when it comes out.
Yeah, see what you
think.
It's
the kind of thing I quite like a fan footage.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah. Dagger has got 8.7 on IMDb. 2 out of 5 stars from The Guardian. He did actually mention The Guardian
review, didn't he,
in the Q&A.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a bit of disparity there, but yeah.
Yeah.
On the whole, I'd say have a look.
Jables, what are you on about this week?
Well, I have been watching the new series on Netflix, Avatar, The Last Airbender. So there's a new series come out based on the anime. There was a film in, I can't remember, 2008, 2009? An M. Night Shyamalan film. Which
that no one liked.
Universally panned, critics and especially fans, though, who really hated it. I don't have any skin in the game. I've not seen this. A bit like when I watched Cowboy Bebop, and it turns out everyone on the internet hated Cowboy Bebop, but I quite enjoyed it because it was just something I stuck on Netflix. It was quite good fun and quite silly, and I enjoyed it. With this, I'd say this is probably a step above that. It's actually really good. It's entertaining. It's fun. It looks really good. It's set in a fantasy world where there's different elemental magicians, let's say. So you have the airbenders and the firebenders and the earthbenders and the waterbenders, and they're at loggerheads with each other, but there's like this the avatar who's like a combination of who can control all the elements, who almost kind of brings balance to everyone, kind of keeps everyone in check. and Aang is the current Avatar. One of the nations decide to go to war to take out the Avatar so they can basically control the world because they need to take out the Avatar. And it kind of ensues from that. There's a passage of time and then he has to come out. But he's quite an endearing character. It's quite good in terms of balance. It looks really good, as I say. The fights feel quite good. It's CGI, but it feels kind of right CGI. It's based on a cartoon. So it feels kind of right. The characters, sometimes when they're talking, they feel like they're anime characters talking. You know, when they go into a hyper weird rant, where they just suddenly start ranting or something, and there's a guy standing there going, "My cabbage is," kind of thing. So it's quite fun like that. Quite heartfelt and quite good. I'm enjoying it. I've only got one episode to go. So
cool.
Yeah, I've got the last episode to watch.
Is it
all on Netflix?
Lovely.
At work, there's someone who's a big, big fan. It's their most favourite series of all time. Even named their dog after one of the characters.
Oh, so, that's nice. I like a super fan every now and then.
Yeah.
Who started watching it and has cried a couple of times in the first episode when she got upset. So, you know, I think it's hitting all the marks. I would definitely recommend it if you fancy something fairly light, but also it's got a depth to it. You can kind of get out of it what you take into it. You can just watch it on the surface. I think if you're a fan, you'd probably, there's so many references in it that I don't have a clue about. Some really nice, there's some cool characters in it. Almost like Spirited Away type. There's one particular villain, I would say. I'll say villain, stroke creature, who pops up, who kind of reminded me of like the face mask from Spirited Away.
Oh, No Face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But has that art style surrounding it as well, the whole creature and effects. Mm. And, yeah, so it's good. And I know it sounds weird, like the outfits are good. They don't look out of place for this style. So, no.
Oh, cool.
Definitely recommend it. So, on to this week. The big release of 2 weeks ago now. Yeah, but we were doing Labyrinth, so couldn't get onto this. I put my foot down and said I want to watch this. Not expecting it to be good, but just expecting it to fill the gap of superhero that I know Ben's been missing so much.
Yeah, so many gaps.
Madam Web. Who's going to give us an idea of what's coming up?
Not me.
I can't tell you a lot. Because, full disclosure, I've actually seen a few reviews of this.
Okay.
Because in light of seeing Labyrinth when it came out, I assumed that we would end up missing Madam Web. So I watched some of the snarky old Critical Drinker, Nerd Rotic kind of videos that I like to chuckle at. So I actually know a bit more about this film than I probably should.
So I know it stars Dakota Fanning.
Johnson.
Dakota Johnson, who is playing Cassandra Webb, who's a New York paramedic. Mother's killed early on, and she grows up probably in New York, Spider-Man era New York, though there's probably no references to Spider-Man or Venom or anything like that.
Nope.
And starts getting flashbacks or flash forwards, it seems like, doesn't it?
Yeah, she can see the future.
Yes, but only like a certain period of time in the future, like the immediate future. And seemingly some things from the past, I'm not 100% sure, looking at the trailer, because there seem to be flashbacks, unless they're
just
earlier
flashbacks
scenes.
For us.
Earlier scenes. And it appears she needs to protect a number of other young women from a nefarious-looking Spider-Man, is what I'd say, from the trailer, who seems to be going around killing people. So, as I've done that, I mean, I can't really go to you then, our kid, because you've obviously got...
I wouldn't do, because I have got some inside knowledge and I do know spoiler things and stuff like that.
So, how much of this are you going to be able to keep an open mind for then, you think, as an exercise?
Even before I heard the reviews, I was more indifferent to it than I was the other Spider-Man properties. I'm not really excited, so maybe I'm just channeling Ben too much, I don't know. But we'll see. I will keep an open mind because I love Venom.
Yeah.
The world hates Venom.
Yeah.
You two don't even have much love
for
Venom.
No, I don't mind the first one. I hate the second one.
I know, but I have love for both of the Venom films. So I can find charm where others obviously don't care to look for it. So I'm hoping that Madam Web might have a little bit more. I like lots of rubbish stuff.
Yeah.
So it being deemed rubbish generally doesn't mean a lot to me. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Ben?
Okay. Well, I'm still in the depths, the deep, dark, doldrum depths of superhero fatigue. So my energy for this is low. I feel bad saying that. I'll try and go in with an open mind. I've kind of purposely not looked at any information about this film because I thought the best way for me to approach it, as Mr. Grumpy Pants hates all superhero films because they're pants, it's probably better for me just going cold, really, which sounds a bit rubbish for the first part of the podcast, but I don't have much to say about it other than...
Well,
I'll try and keep an open mind, but it might be rubbish.
Well, you better have more to say in the second half then.
Yeah.
Mm. I think from my point of view, I mean, I use something, I don't know if you guys heard of it, called the internet. And on the internet, over the last couple of weeks or since its release, it's been impossible to at least have someone at some point shout how crap it is. So I'd say on this regard, it's literally impossible to, you know, go into it thinking this is going to be amazing. There's part of me that just wants something to be a little bit different, which could be interesting. I'm not sure about this whole darker Spider-Man type character. I don't know if he's going to be... when you watch the trailer, there's a bit where you see them dressed up as like in like Spider-Woman outfits of various types, like the younger women. I'm not sure how much of that's going to be in it.
I know, but I'm not going to tell you.
I don't know how that's going to feature, but it doesn't look very superhero-y.
No.
It doesn't look like a superhero tale, you know, because it's in the same universe. It's, you know, it's, as we know, we've spoken about it before, but, you know, this is the Sony Pictures universe. Mm. So it's sort of separate from the normal MCU. It's got association with, you know, Marvel that it'll have at the start. But these are very much separate films to the Marvel films. This is more in line with your Morpheus.
Morpheus.
Morbius, even. The ones that are coming out, Kraven the Hunter. Which other ones are there from that?
Or Venom.
Or Venom, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, as I said, I know I'm down on especially Venom 2, but I like 2/3 of the first one. I think it's, and it's got a lot of charm to it. It's a, it's quite a well put together. I think actually the flaws of that film are when it becomes a crashy bashy,
I do agree,
which are just a bit weak. Whereas this seems like it seems more about the people. But then I think my feeling is I'm actually going to care because I saw a longer trailer for Kraven the Hunter. It looks kind of stupid,
yeah,
and I'm kind of like in. I've got that kind of like, oh, this could be bad. I might quite like Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
I don't really get anything from this.
No.
I kind of get that feeling of, I don't necessarily see the point. But saying that, I'm going in kind of open-minded. We've seen all, I mean, not being funny. Morbius was awful.
But I did enjoy it.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. But this is the thing, you said, I don't think I did that much.
It should have been better. I think we said at the time, we wish they'd been braver and made a horror film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than a wishy-washy, didn't know quite what it was film.
And it feels like there might be
Matt
those...
But Matt Smith was great.
Yeah, they might have those kind of inflections in this film. It depends how they want to do it. Like if they'd done it as a, you know, it would be quite intriguing actually if you had, what if there was a bad Spider-Man going around who's killing people and doing real bad things? What do you do about that? You know, a lurker in New York City. And then you've got someone who's got a power or something to detect that. That kind of idea of a noir detective whodunit sort of thing could actually be really interesting.
Yeah.
And if they do it well, then maybe everyone's wrong and actually they've done something good. So I'm trying to keep that in my mind. That's where I'm coming from.
To be fair, I've watched people who were always going to hate this film.
Yeah, okay.
They went into it knowing they were going to hate this film.
Yes. So,
and they were funny, snarky videos.
Yeah.
I think we can make our own mind up about the actual film.
Well,
for sure.
That's what we do here on the Just So Jones podcast, fortunately.
And I mean, also, you know, I'm generally down on these kind of films, but sometimes if the mainstream critics pan something, that's when I start to think, oh, maybe I'll actually root for it.
That's because you're a rebel, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Well, let's get our, let's whiz on down. This doesn't even have, it's not
mean anything.
Okay. Let's web our way to, again,
let's leg it.
Let's crawl over to
like
the Majestic.
Let's go.
And hope we're not, can't think of it.
Okay, bye.
You can stop that. Bye. And we're back. We've just watched Madame Web.
Yeah, that chuckle. We'll
come
back later.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. So, who's doing a synopsis? Our kid.
Well, I have got a synopsis. It is straight off of IMDb.
Okay, that's...
But it's just to set the scene, really, because I think we've got more to say about our thoughts than actually what happened.
Yeah, maybe.
So, let's go in for it. So, Cassandra Webb is a New York metropolis paramedic who begins to demonstrate signs of clairvoyance. Forced to challenge revelations about her past, she needs to safeguard three young women from a deadly adversary who wants them destroyed. So that's it.
That,
in a nutshell.
I mean, it's a lot more than that.
So much more.
Yeah. Okay. We usually have to talk about spoilers. You know, we're not going to give away big things. I don't think there's anything not to give away in this. We'll kind of be talking about most of it, I think. I think if you don't want to know anything...
Maybe how the very, very end scene plays out.
Okay, I suppose, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, but even then it's...
I mean, it's all going to be obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
From the trailer, you can guess everything that happens, I would
say. That's a fair point.
There is a theory that it was written by AI. I'll just put it out there.
Oh, really? Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, okay, so overall, to start with, my thoughts are that the film is, it's not very good. It's hard to really hate it, but it's just bad. Mm. It's just a bad way to make a film. There's some really fundamental things that just were wrong with it. There was something off. It just didn't feel right. So what I said beforehand, it could be just a whodunit. No, there's none of that. There's no mystery at all anywhere. And I guess there's kind of no mystery because of the trailer, but I was hoping for maybe a bit more. Mm. Maybe there'd be something. No, nothing. I would argue still there is the potential that there could have been a good story in there, but they just chose not to do it. That's what it felt like.
I agree.
It was a bit of a dumpster fire, I think. It's hard to put it on one thing because so much of it was just wrong. Dakota Johnson, you know, seen her in other things. I thought she was quite good. But in this, I don't know if it was a choice. I don't know if it was direction. I don't know if it was complete apathy. Because wooden, horrible, just bad. Mm. Just bad. She obviously had baggage. She had background. She was cynical. She was coming across as uncaring. And as the film progressed, you're supposed to think she started to care for these people that she was looking out for. But it still didn't even feel like that because the delivery was so, just felt off.
Mm.
I don't know what I was supposed to think at the points that she was talking, which was strange, which was really, I just found it odd. I was sat there going, I just don't think you're very good.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Same here, particularly for me, in the first half an hour, I found myself thinking, yeah, the story's kind of okay. I get her as a paramedic and getting into a situation where she helps people in her professional life. She doesn't want to have to do that in her personal life as well. And I felt like if the acting had been more charismatic and interesting, particularly her, but also Ezekiel, the villain who we'll come on to, even poor dialogue with a good actor can carry it in that kind of film. But they just couldn't carry it at all.
No.
And it was quite painful at times.
Really
to watch. Yeah. There was a joke at the beginning where this child's trying to thank her and her partner Ben for something they've done. And we chuckled a little bit, but it was still quite awkward, wasn't it? And a bit like their awkwardness was portrayed awkwardly and it just felt awkward to watch for the wrong reasons.
I kept thinking of different things during this film. The thing at that point that I was thinking of was like, this is going to sound random, Miss Congeniality, but with all of the fun sucked out of it.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Like weird. Odd, but I'm a little bit sort of misanthropic. I'm a little bit clunky. I'm a little bit weird. But in that, it's really funny. But in this, it's just like,
it just falls completely flat. You mean the character, her character.
I got you. Dirty Harriet, he calls her, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That bit particular, as you said, it was all the delivery was just off. It was like, it was a potentially what could have been quite funny.
It was all just a beat off, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like there was a disconnect between everyone talking. Maybe there was, I don't know. You said it was written by AI. I think parts of it
maybe.
It feels like it was almost edited by AI in places, to be honest.
Yeah, and it is a shame because do you remember that Persuasion thing that Dakota Johnson was in?
Yeah.
She was really good in that and she really carried it off and she did that talking to camera thing and she was very funny and natural. But in this, bad.
Yeah, so yeah, as you said, what was his name? DJ?
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
DJ.
Yeah. No, that was DJ. Sorry, I should say DJ was Dakota Johnson.
Oh, DJ.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
So the villain.
The villain,
Ezekiel, weird character.
Yeah.
So I agree, going back to what you said, the first 25 minutes, the setup, the going back into the past, the backstory, and then jumping forward to the new, like you, I was like, okay, I'm going along with this. It's not terrible. It's not amazing, but it's not terrible. It's a little bit wooden in places, but maybe it's going to change as it goes along. I was kind of all right then. And I'm not sure exactly what the point was. I don't know if it was the introduction of, I think it was almost the introduction of the villain. Right. When he goes to the opera and meets someone and takes them back and she's an NSA agent. And I'm like, well, this is weird. And he kind of, when he's talking, it sounds like he's dubbed constantly. Yeah. Was he dubbed?
Mm. I don't know, but it just was really disjointed, wasn't it?
I was a couple of times. I know we were joking in the cinema. I was like looking around, trying to work out where his voice was coming from because it wasn't the screen.
That?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, over here. So really bad.
Yeah.
And in terms of his motivations, so he's motivated to kill the teenage girls that some kind of magic facial recognition in 2003 was able to pick up to work to de-age them back 20 years. Because in the future, he's going to get killed by them.
Yeah.
For some reason.
For some reason. Something to do with the spiders, I think.
Yeah.
I wasn't very clear. So he, at this point in time, he's then going to track them down in the present and then kill them all. But what he's going to do, he's going to wait until they're all on the train and kill them all together.
Well, I think he's looking for them and they happen to come together.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
And it was like there was something in the story that was supposed to explain it, but they left parts out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
either it didn't make sense and they're going, oh, this is weird, it doesn't make sense. Or it just got lifted out entirely. I didn't get him.
No, I didn't. Usually if there's a supervillain, they've got some sort of goal or destiny or something that they're trying to protect or work towards. He was just self-preservation.
He was protecting this one spider thing that he took out the jungle because it gave him some...
He was super rich because of spider?
I think it was to do with, what she was trying to find it for medical applications or something. Yeah,
there was a medical thing, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Right.
But they never really explained that particularly.
No, there was no clarity.
But again, I just kind of think, oh, God, you're an idiot. Why would you try and kill them all at once? Why would you go, right, I have to do this now and I have to be obsessive about this now? You got that thought that, okay, he's a calculating person. Actually, no, he's not. If he'd have been driven mad by the spider venom, if the powers, because he's got the black suit, spider suit, kind of Spider-Man type suit for some reason, if there was something that was twisted in his mind that was going to make him act like this, but you didn't know, you don't know.
Or guilt from what happened in the jungle, it might have at least given him some depth.
Something.
Yeah, nothing.
But no, it's just like, right, I need to kill all these people now, I'm going to 20 years in the future. And he could have at some point gone, oh, right, this didn't work. Okay, I'll take a break for a bit. So I've got another 20 years to go.
Yeah.
But no.
Maybe pick them off one by one.
Yeah, it was a bit strange. Once he killed them, he'd go back to his life of...
Whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, what are you trying to achieve? And it turns out, I mean, nothing.
Ben, what are your thoughts on Ezekiel?
On the baddie? It was just weird. It was just weird. Like, he was pacing around. He's in this building, which is all like... glass, and there's some computer screens, and he's got like some kind of technical assistant who's a woman who I don't know why she's there, and she can run the computer and find people's faces. His leadership style is to pace around in a waistcoat having a look at his spider collection, just occasionally barking, do this faster, be better. I was like, well, why don't you put a bit of work in? And occasionally he does, he runs off and like hangs off a ceiling or something. It was weird, but the thing is, I didn't completely hate it. It was just slightly odd.
Yeah.
Like with some of the Marvel type stuff and the superhero type stuff, I actively hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's so smug. This wasn't really smug. It was just a bit strange.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I didn't completely hate it.
Yeah.
Occasionally I was just kind of smirking at it. So the baddie, there's just nothing to say really. Like, you know, wasn't menacing particularly, wasn't particularly smug, wasn't particularly charismatic, was just there as a device, I guess, to move things along. But
yeah.
DJ gets her powers from a near-death experience. Wow, who'd have thought? But then her powers all seem very confused. And I'm not really sure what they were trying to achieve, how they were trying to achieve it, where they were going with it. I don't know how they work. Like, it's confusing how they work because... And I think they were trying to introduce it like a confusing kind of like, oh, discombobulating way of it going. But then it wasn't clear. So you don't really know. You knew what was happening, but you didn't know what was happening, which made it worse because like with jump cuts and jumping around, you didn't know what was going to happen. And I guess that was maybe part of it. But then it seems like as the film goes on, she realizes she needs to do things on her own and has to show them how to do things that are potentially going to be important later on.
Mini
training courses in CPR, which is just an odd scene. Disappear, like leave these teenage girls in a diner.
I need to leave you in the woods, and they went to a diner.
Things just didn't flow logically, did they? You know, why the woods? Why a firework factory?
Yeah.
You know, nothing seemed to...
But is it because
sort of
she could see the future?
Sense.
That's what I...
Yeah,
but they didn't use that smartly enough, did they?
No.
Because I wasn't sure at all. Like, I get confused by these films at the best of times.
And I think they were trying to do it like in a sort of, well, she knows what's happening. But because of how she played it, she didn't seem like she knew. Mm. There were things that she was doing. It was almost like, do you remember Red Dwarf? Isn't there like a luck episode in Red Dwarf where they have like, they inject themselves with liquid luck or something? Yeah. I can't remember what it, I'm pretty sure it's Red Dwarf. And
it is.
They suddenly like, oh, I need to go over here and do this to do that because of so-and-so. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But they're just all suddenly so confident. Actually, here's a go. Harry Potter, liquid luck. That is just that. And it's actually like, I know you like the films, don't you?
They're okay.
Yeah. They're okay. Yeah. But that bit is actually really good. You get this sudden shift in Daniel Radcliffe where he's suddenly like, he's a weird kind of like happy dude that's just like, oh, hello. And he's just like, oh, I have to go over here now. And do it. Don't know. And he's like, why are you going over there? I don't know. I'm just going to go over there. And everything suddenly fits into place.
Mm.
So you know, well, he's acting weird now and this is happening. So you kind of go along with it. And it's quite funny and it works well because you're like, this is, in this, I'm just as confused. Yeah. I don't know if she actually knows what she's doing, if she's aware, because there's no shift. There's just this still this dour kind of like wooden person talking. There's a lot of talking in this film.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exposition. There's a lot of shouting at each other while you're in an action scene. And not just shouting, like talking. You need to go over to there to do so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And I'm going to go over to there and do so-and-so-and-so-and-so.
Yeah.
And you want to say, but you're the other side of an exploding building. They're not going to be able to hear you. Right? No, go on. You need to go over there. I'm going to go over there.
Yeah.
Which was just dumb. Exposition. Going back to Peru, that just felt like tacked in there.
It was weird.
It was like,
it's like I'm off for a week. Yeah. Bye.
So she leaves them in the woods, goes to the thing, comes back and she's in a diner. They're in a diner and that's just kind of silly. And then, right, we need to get out of here. I'll take you to Uncle Ben. I'm going to leave you here. I'm just going to pop to Peru. It's like she was going on a gap year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to chill on the bus. That
makes me think of one point that was bugging me the whole way through. Where were the authorities in all of this film?
Yeah, how did she get on a plane?
So, exactly. So there's a bit where she's kind of kidnapped the three kids.
Yeah.
And she's listening to the radio and it's like, and we're also interested, person of interest is the woman. And she's like, oh yeah. But then they never mention that again.
No, it doesn't.
So she can clearly get through passport control, even though she's a wanted person and people have facial recognition software. But it doesn't make any sense.
I thought it was strange that she turns up in Peru, meets one of the spider people who's dressed in Western-y clothes.
Slash like a cult leader or something.
I think it might have been better if he'd just turned up in New York.
Yeah.
It might have made more sense and not gone off so weirdly.
I think that that's originally what was going to happen because she drives off in this beaten up old stolen taxi and then where did she leave it? The airport?
I know.
While she flies to Peru.
Yeah.
And then she pulls back seemingly like a day later and back into Uncle Ben's in the same car. And she met the guy and he was wearing clothes, whereas when you saw him before, he was in like spidery.
Yeah.
Which made more sense. So it felt tacked on. I didn't know if it was going to be like, we're going to start slipping into Kraven the Hunter crossover sort of thing at that point. Yeah. So I don't know. It felt like an almost wasted opportunity. It just felt clumsy. I don't know, even if he was trying to stop them being born or if he was trying to stop them from doing something that would make
her...
But it wasn't. It was just like, need to kill you. There was nothing clever about it. Like, she's like, it's Madam Web. It's about time. It's about multiverse. It's about interconnectedness of all things.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dirk.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, there wasn't really any of that. What a wasted opportunity for that.
There were a few little flashes of it, weren't there?
But nothing...
Like the bit when she's on the train and the different things happening around, that was quite strange. And
but
they could have done more of that sort of thing,
but
I think.
It was played more like a jump scare than an actual
scene.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of talking myself into not liking it a bit more as I go along.
I might be veering towards the it's so bad, it's good scale.
Okay.
I might be, yeah. It was bad. I know it was a bad film. But I do feel slightly warmly towards it more than I do a lot of the recent Marvel stuff, for example. I mean, I did the Marvels, actually. That was not a great film.
Yeah.
But there was something about it that I kind of enjoyed.
But there was something in the performances of the people were trying in that.
That's true. That was better acting, let's face it.
And I know you said the teenage girls were they were fine. They weren't terrible. Yeah. They weren't great. There was
I
a whole.
They were fun. They were peppy. They were cute.
There was a whole bit that I didn't fall asleep, but I felt like I was going to fall asleep because there was like 10 minutes of them talking in the woods, just talking about stuff. And then they got to the diner, just talking in there. And like, I remember like looking over you and go, what's actually happening? It's just people sat around talking.
Yeah.
But like you say, with the Marvels, the main characters that feel like they're trying. In this, I just didn't get anything from the main characters. Mm. The things that are supposed to be the linchpins of it were just, they felt kind of, even though they're front and center, they felt almost absent. So it lost that soul. And in this, it feels like there was a lot of stupid decisions we were saying about afterwards and things that were like lost in editing and people talking about pictures of people that they hadn't seen before. We said about
that
afterwards.
Really funny,
it was so
wasn't
odd.
It? Yeah.
When
yeah.
these teenage girls are suddenly like, oh, God, you know that you know him. It's a thing. It's like you don't know what he looks like. You haven't seen him yet. I don't know. Yeah. So I'm veering towards not good. I wouldn't recommend anyone watching it.
No, I don't think I would really either. But I think if it came on a rainy day,
if I was hungover,
I'd probably watch it.
If I was hungover, I lost the use of my fingers and wasn't able to change the channel, then yeah, maybe. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't put it on again, put it that way.
No, I don't think that they're going to be doing much more with it, are they? I can't imagine.
Well, do you not think towards the end they were hinting at?
I think they were, but I think...
Hideous.
I don't think they realised quite how bad a film it was.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, when I've sat and watched that and it makes Morbius look quite good. But it does, doesn't it? Like, at least, as you said before, Morbius had Matt Smith trying and whatever you think of Jared Leto, I mean, at least he was there.
And it had Jared Harris. As well, you know, they were all
Jared Harris,
yeah, and as well as Jared Leto.
Oh, okay,
he was the mental guy,
Oh, yeah, but it felt like they were trying. Mm. This, it felt like I don't know, a wooden spoon and a bad dubbing. It's what it felt like. It's just what I don't like being that harsh, it's just what it felt like to me.
Yeah, another random comparison for you that popped in my head a few times while watching it. Do you remember? I think it was either late 80s or early 90s when we were kids in the summer holidays, there was a show on called Ghostwriter. Which
it
was
rings a bell.
Yeah.
So I think it was some kind of semi-educational thing. I can't really remember what the plot was, but it was a bunch of like quirky New York kids,
right,
who befriended the ghost of a Vietnam vet who could give them clues about things that they could work out.
What were they actually looking for?
I can't
it does
remember.
Ring a bell.
I think the ghost was trying to get them to solve some puzzle before it could move on to the afterlife or something. But yeah, because like the teenage kids reminded me a bit of Ghostwriter, but I was thinking I'd rather sit and watch an episode of Ghostwriter.
Yeah.
It was like an educational thing, wasn't it? Like, do you remember words and pictures, wordy and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it does
like
a bit
that
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get it out of my head. Ghostwriter. Yeah. Go and watch that instead.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll find it.
Car moments, Ben?
Well, the interesting thing, when I say interesting, the one thing about this film is that for some reason it was set in 2003. Yeah.
What was the deal with that? Is that just because was that just to make it pre-modern Spider-Man?
Probably.
So you've got a young Peter Parker.
Because then Peter Parker would be 20
Ben
now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, all that kind of...
So when that happened, the first scene is in 1973 and then it cuts to 2003. I'm thinking, well, at least we might get the odd car moment, but not really. Like Ben Parker's car. I don't know what that was, some kind of 80s American landship thing. But
felt like the time should have been important, but it actually wasn't. Like they thought, oh, we're going to set that then and they're going to set this now. And it was just like, so?
It had no bearing on anything, really.
And it felt like it should have. If you know what I mean, like the setup, like, and it sounds bad, but even if he'd have been trying to stop Peter Parker being born or something like that, I don't know.
I don't think they were allowed to say Peter Parker.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
But even if something, some bearing of some consequence, but because we don't know these characters and like Madame Web is like alluded to in Spider-Verse and things like, but it's not a central being in any way in any of the films, you just kind of got to take it as read that it's important. But then, it's a nothing for me.
Yeah, you flopped a bit there.
Yeah,
I think I'm checking out. Yeah, you are definitely. Yeah,
just low here for this film.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to try and save it because, like I said, I don't think it was a very good film. But I obviously feel slightly more warmly towards it than you do for reasons I can't really explain.
It's just the fact that it kind of came out a little bit confused and like, what was that? And like, felt almost like it felt a little bit cheeky.
Yeah.
And the more I've thought about it, it just feels more
rubbish. Yeah. We definitely laughed at it more than we laughed with it.
Definitely.
Didn't
Okay. Anything else to add, you two?
No.
No, right. I haven't even got a rating.
No, nah, I can't, like, be bothered.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
couldn't be bothered. I can't be bothered.
Something yeah. Something we'll compare other films to, yeah, probably.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So, trailers?
I don't think there was anything new.
Just
yeah.
June
2.
I think that was it, wasn't it?
No, there was something else, but I can't remember. Definitely something we've seen before. Right, well, talking about June 2, though, I'm pretty sure that's what next week is, isn't it?
Nee, 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 nee. Wadib.
Ben's a little bit excited for that one.
You are a bit, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to seeing... There's a bit where Javier Bardem is crouched down.
Okay, yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing if he can stand up again.
Yeah. One thing that did strike me about the trailer this time, thinking about you, our kid, it does feel very whispery. Yeah. This edition. Yeah.
I don't like whispering.
I think you're over that a bit now, though. You're not as bad
I do find it irritating.
Yeah, but you're not as bad as you used to be. You used to refuse to watch it.
I did, that's true. Yeah, it was annoying, though.
Well, that's next week. If people want to get in touch and let us know what they think of Man and Web and their excitement for June 2, how would they do that, our kid?
They will get us on the socials, at Just So Jables on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Email us, hello@justsojables.com. I think we've got a reply to an email, haven't we?
Have we?
Remember the email we mentioned earlier about what's on Retro Reels?
Oh, yeah.
We forgot to pick that back up.
I think we've made a decision, haven't we?
We have made a decision. If you tune in next week, we'll give you that decision live on the pod. But not live, because you'll be hearing it like 2 days after we recorded it.
But hey, it'll be live to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smooth. All right,
then. Yeah, that was smooth as silk.
Game over, man. Game over.
See you next week. Just So Jables.